Of course it's dope. Hello, can you hear us? Says Adam.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, July 23rd, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation audio publication, episode 115.
This is No Agenda.
Coming to you from the minimum security containment cell. It's where you find the Crackpot Command Center in Gitmo Nation West, from an undisclosed loft location in San Francisco. I'm Adam Curry.
And from a foggy northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill
in the morning.
Yes. Hey, good morning, John.
So you're in the containment cell today?
Yes, I am. The minimum security containment cell.
That's good.
And feeling mighty fine about it, my friend.
You should probably check those doors, the front door, especially for solenoids.
What's a solenoid?
It's a thing that, you know, they can push a button and then magnetically, boom, bolts the door closed.
Yeah. That's a good point. Thank you.
Yeah, I was looking. I'm more concerned. I think more in these terms. I was on Monday. I took my daughter over to Alcatraz with our friend who keeps apparently inviting you to go.
Oh, Ranger Craig. Yeah.
Ranger Craig showed us around, and he gave us the tour, the back tour. In other words, we didn't, you know, stuff you don't normally see.
Yeah.
And one of the things you learn is that prisoners who have time on their hands come up with the craziest ideas.
Of how to escape or just craziest ideas in general?
Escape.
Yeah. Like?
Well, like spending 7 or 8 years.
With a spoon?
The spoon thing is overrated. This is more weird. Spending 7 or 8 years with dental floss and tooth powder to grind through one of the bars.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit. And how far did they get?
Now, apparently, with the old original bars that they used to have, which were flat steel, and so they came out with the round steel hardened, somebody actually busted through one of them.
Oh, my God. After 7 years of sawing with dental floss?
Oh, shit. Well, the tooth powder. So you need the tooth powder.
Yeah, of course. Of course you do. Oh, man. Oh, shit. Hey, memo to self. Let's not get stuck in Alcatraz. That sucks. Oh, boy. Hey, did you see our president last night?
No, I missed him. Was he in town?
No. Yeah.
Do you know that Obama has done more primetime speeches to the public in 6 months than George Bush did in 8 years? Presidents very rarely do them at all. I mean, he does, you know, you do one about one every couple of years when something's important, but Obama's putting himself on TV over and over again. And the thing is, apparently this last time when he gave his healthcare speech, the networks are getting reluctant to put him on.
Yeah, except this time they had no reluctance whatsoever. And of course, I also received an email from our president yesterday after, was it yesterday morning?
I like that you're on his email list.
Yeah,
you're rare few.
Well, check this out because, of course, this is the from is President Barack Obama, and the actual email address is info@messages.whitehouse.gov. But this, it was a very interesting salutation as he starts off by saying, "Dear friend," which I just find somehow insulting. I mean, I'm a citizen, you know, dear American or dear
my fellow American,
fellow citizen of Gitmo Nation, you know. And of course, the title of the email is "Tune In." And as you read this, we're closer than ever to passing comprehensive health insurance reform that benefits American families and small businesses. Despite all the back and forth in the news right now, it's important to understand just how far we've come in this challenging process. That's why I'm holding a press conference tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and writing to let everyone know where we are, what's ahead, and why health insurance reform is so important. So I was lucky enough to be able to be home at 5, Gitmo Nation West time, to actually tune in. And hold on 1 second. You leaving, babe?
No.
No? Oh, kiss me. Oh, all right. And I actually fell asleep during the first half of the. I swear, I was so tired. I'm lying on the couch.
That's the danger.
And I'm sitting there
like, what is it that you somehow got transferred into your brain during these moments of sleep?
I don't know. And what was he planting in my subconscious while I was drifting off into sleep? I couldn't understand a word of what he was saying, dude. It was literally like, huh? Of what? And it was one of these typical news conferences that he does where he comes out. And now, of course, he's smart. He's reading the teleprompter that's right in the middle of the room. It's a huge LCD screen. You can actually see it in a couple of the shots later on. And watching it in HD is phenomenal because you literally see the screen reflecting in his iris.
Ow.
And you see his eyes darting back and forth.
Yeah,
they do, because the letters are too white or something like that. And you can see the reflection in his eyes. And you see him reading because the shot is reasonably close up. And then, you know, he does his little introductory thing. And then he takes 11 or 12 questions, which are all, you know, pre-processed, pre-set up. He knows exactly who he's going to call on. He knows where they're sitting. And, of course, Helen is there. Now, she's almost like a... She's rocking back and forth like Bill Gates these days. She's like sitting in the front row going like, he'll never call on me. He'll never call on me. And what was interesting to see how, you know, and you really recognize how this thing is so set up. Today, so that would have been tomorrow for yesterday's news conference, the president is visiting the Cleveland Clinic, I guess. Is it, what's the name of the famous clinic in Cleveland?
I don't know.
Oh, there's some, okay, well, there's some Cleveland clinic.
Not the Mayo, is it?
No.
That's up in Minneapolis.
That's Minneapolis, yeah. So I guess the Cleveland Clinic is in on the game. And so he calls on the guy from the Cleveland Real Insider. Like, duh. You know, what a setup is that? It's like, okay, I get it. You know, call on that guy, get it all prepped for tomorrow. It was weird. It was really a very weird press conference. He also slipped a couple times on his answers. Instead of saying we saved or created jobs, it's like we saved and created jobs. I'm like, no, you didn't. You know, and last time I checked, we're still losing jobs.
Yeah, I don't see where there's any created.
Which reminds me.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Nancy Pelosi.
So I took that clip and I realized there was something missing from it, and that was a bunch of kids screaming.
That's exactly. It's perfect. I love it. Because when you sent me the clip, I'm like, okay, it'd be the jobs clip, and I heard the kids at the end. I'm like, yeah, nice.
So yeah, just play it at will.
Yeah, whenever I feel like it. So, you know, the only thing I could really do, and I've spent the past couple days doing this, is I just went ahead and tried to read this bill that they're talking about, this health care reform bill. And I'm not a lawyer, I'm, you know, I don't even think a lawyer could understand this. It reminds me a lot of the Lisbon Treaty, which I also read in its entirety, because you have to go to all these other bills and laws, and you have to find all this other stuff because it literally...
Yeah, they're all cross-referenced to
an
extreme.
Yeah, and it's not just cross-referencing, but this bill, which is H.R. 3200, literally changes other laws.
Yeah, like the IRS code and this
and
that.
Yeah, so it's not just a new piece of legislation. It's actually changing old legislation. And the thing right off the bat that just really frightened me is, and I'm looking at it right now, I think I sent you a link, John, H.R. 3200.
Yeah.
And right at the top, so it gives you the purpose of this bill, and I'll just quote this, to provide affordable, quality health care for all Americans and reduce the growth in health care spending and for other purposes. I'm like, what? Other purposes? What? Other purposes. Isn't the bill just about the bill? What kind of hedge is that? So, you know, that, of course, makes me incredibly suspicious.
Yeah, well, you should be. The thing that got me about that bill is the fact that they want everybody, you know, there's a bunch of, like, a new enforcement agency, and there's a new health commissioner that's going to get paid as much as with a huge staff that's going to get paid as much as a cabinet member in Obama's cabinet.
Oh,
I was
really
trying to figure out the salaries. And so this salary is going to be the same as this person. And, you know, so I had to go check their salary. And their salary, if you look on, you know, it says it's going to be the same as this. But you have to keep going and going and going until you find out that the salary is $191,300.
Per person?
For the head guy. And then the way it looks as if everybody just under that person is getting just a shade less. But, you know, I was looking at the different salaries. You know, Pelosi, for example, as the Speaker of the House, she gets $221,000, and Obama gets $400,000 as the president. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. These salaries, to begin with, are bogus. Pelosi gets $221,000, but she has use of a 757.
Yeah, she gets a jet. Hello.
And do any of these people ever drive their own car? Do they pay when Obama has a dinner at the White House for 100 people? Is it coming out of his salary like it would be with you if you give a dinner for 100 people?
No, of course not.
It's just put it in the bank because you're not going to have to spend a nickel.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that account as anything? That's not what the true salary is. If you were going to look at Pelosi's true salary with the 757 costing $30,000 to fly across the country by one estimate. If you're going to, and she's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, she's making millions of dollars per year. She's got limos, she's got free food, she's got a 757 because she doesn't want to stop.
Yeah, she's got free housing, I think. She's got
a
place
in
D.C. Yeah, of course.
Well, so I was concerned about the fact that in that bill there's a non-compliance clause for employers, which amounts to $100 a day fines plus probably interest if they don't insure their employees.
Yeah, this is the thing that's kind of weird. If you have I'm a small business owner essentially, although I kind of fall outside of what is deemed small business. There's up to 200, if you have a payroll of up to $250,000, which let's face it, that's like four guys, you know, is that, how many people would that
be? That's about right.
Yeah, about four or five people, then you're exempt from all of this. But if you have a payroll over $250,000, which is, you know, basically Mevio is a good example.
Oh, so you found that. I was looking for that number. I couldn't find it in the bill.
Yeah. If you don't provide health care, now we do provide health care. If you don't provide health care, then there is an automatic 8% tax on additional payroll tax, which of course comes right out of the workers' wages. Now that's okay because we provide health care. The problem is, that the government now has, according to this bill, now has the right to audit our books whenever they feel like it to make sure that we're actually doing everything on the up and up regarding health care.
Right, there's a compliance officer.
That's a bit chilling. Now, I found on page...
How many of these, by the way, how many of these inspectors, which is what it amounts to, or auditors, which are probably get paid more than an inspector would, how many of these people are they going to hire? I mean, this seems like another big government job. You know, I mean, everything that Obama's doing, all the creation of any jobs he's creating are all just government jobs. It's like everyone's going to be working for the government except you.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go to work for the government.
Well, this is, of course, exactly what happens in Atlas Shrugged, if you read that. Yeah. By the way, someone sent me a note, says he was listening to the audiobook version and was really enjoying it, all 52 hours of it. That's quite an audiobook. But the bill is
you could learn Portuguese in that amount of time.
Interestingly enough, this bill is 1,017 pages long, which is about the size of Atlas Shrugged. And I know how long it's taken me to get through that book. And of course, what really seems apparent is that they, you know, the government goes on vacation in August.
Well, let's talk about that for a quick minute.
They go on vacation.
Hey, wait, let me ask you a question. I'm going to do an Adam Curry and ask you a question that's got the answer built in.
Yeah, hit me.
You're running a company.
Yeah.
Something's happening at the company. There's going to be a merger, or you're going to be shut down.
Or we got a client, maybe. We got something going on.
Or you got a new customer, for God's sake.
Yes.
You're going into a new building. I mean, a million things. Are you going to take 4 weeks off of your normal vacation? Say you take a month off?
Okay, first of all, I think by law almost, unless you've been working at a company for 8 years, you don't even get 4 weeks of vacation. I believe as an executive.
In France, they do.
Yeah, we're not in France, dude. I believe I have 3 weeks of vacation a year by the book. So I have a partner in the business, you know, kind of like you have a president, a vice president, you've got a Speaker of the House, you've got all these people who could pretty much, you know, look after the ship and steer it. So while we do, you know, we have got family. So while I will take a little bit of time off, like a week or so, or maybe a week and a half, you know, I coordinate that with my partners in the business so that they'll keep the ship running. Of course, we don't shut everything down.
They,
of course
they
not.
Allowed in Washington, and they don't do it for 4 weeks. They do it for 5 weeks. And wait a minute, let me get this straight. We're in the worst financial crisis in our history since the Great Depression, whatever they want to say. It's yeah. a horrible situation. Why don't they stay and work? Work it out.
Let's go on vacation.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
These guys are made this. They're rushing these bills through because they have to go on vacation, even though the economy is in such bad shape and everything's falling apart. But they're going on vacation. So, I mean, give me a break. They should not go on vacation, and they should let people read this health care bill. It's ridiculous. These guys are crazy.
So the whole point that I'm trying to make.
They should be voted out.
Yes. Well, we're way too hypnotized for that. So the whole point of this rush, which is exactly what they did with the $700 billion stimulus package. Oh, we got to hurry. And it's, as far as I know, we've only spent about 7 or 8% of it. Why do we have to hurry to get it all done? You know, they really want to rush this so that people don't have time to read it. And honestly, John, I'm not stupid. You're not stupid. You know, I think we're on the level of any congressman or senator. You know, these are just people who've been, you know, they're doctors. There's some of them are lawyers. A lot of them are lawyers. But they're people who were elected, voted in. They can't read this in a week's time. It's impossible to read it, comprehend it, understand exactly what it means. I've only been able to pull little pieces out. For example, page 59, which kind of freaked me out. And I'm not sure I'm reading it right, but requirements for specific standards under Section B, it will under Section C, it will enable electronic funds transfers in order to allow automated reconciliation with related healthcare payment and remittance advice. The way I read that is that the government will require every citizen to allow the government to transfer funds in and out of your bank account. Am I reading that wrong?
I don't know. I can't figure it out either.
Require the use of standard electronic transaction with which healthcare providers may quickly and efficiently enroll with a health plan to conduct the other electronic transactions provided for this party.
It sounds like a Nigerian scam.
It does. There's also... I'm looking for it now. This bill will require every American citizen, whether you have private health insurance or not, to have an ID card. So there you go. You know, they've finally done it.
Yeah, your papers. Your papers.
Yeah, Ausweisbitte. They finally put it in. Now, even if... So we have our... And I know you take advantage of the Mevio health care plan. The doctors that you go to will still no longer be able to provide what you and he feel is appropriate. The government, in effect, is going to determine what you can and cannot get. This is how they're supposedly lowering the cost of health care. But I want a doctor to be deciding that, not the government.
Well, here, why don't you play? Here's I thought this was a little off the wall, but I've got a long clip from Dennis, Cortese, who is the CEO of the Mayo Clinic, one of the most efficient operations in the world for medicine. And he makes a couple of interesting points. You want to play that?
Yeah.
What do you think of the public option?
The public option in that plan depends on what we mean by the public option. If we mean a Medicare-type option that has price controls and it's fee-for-service, that'll be a catastrophe.
I didn't quite understand that. Is he going to explain this?
It's pretty straightforward. You're saying, in other words, if it's going to be one of those systems where you come in for a test and then they add another test and another test and another test because they've lowered the price they have. In other words, they've capped what you can charge.
Uh-huh.
By the government said, no, you can't charge more than 50 cents for that test. And said, okay, well, let me do 10 of them.
Ah, okay.
Because that's apparently what's happened over the last few years.
I get it. Right, okay.
Seen it already in Medicare. It's the largest public insurance company. It's been up and running for many years. It's had price controls under its control since 1983. And with price controls, what have we seen? People just do more. The rate of growth of spending has still gone up.
I get it.
Get paid for every service. You want to do as many services as you can.
And remember, Medicare is only one style. Another one could be Medicaid.
Right. Well, this is exactly what the president said was not going to happen under the new plan, that you would not be able to to have three
that's
tests.
That's where you come in with that concept that the government is going to tell you what you could, what tests you can and cannot run. So
well, it's not just a concept. This is actually happening.
The point that I really want to make with this guy, that's an interesting point, but what he's bringing up now is actually even more interesting because, I mean, nobody even thought about the simplicity of what he's about to say.
They have difficulty with it. You got a military system, you got a VA system, you have TRICARE.
Right.
TRICARE is a pretty good little insurance product out there. People who have it like it, most people don't even know what it is. And not many folks have asked to hear from the TRICARE administration what they can do, what can they bring to the table. And you have the Federal Employees Health Care Plan, which is basically private insurance products that's available for all the federal employees, including the congressmen and the president, the mail carriers, the CIA agents, everybody.
This is the reason people always say if Congress would give the American public the same kind of health care system they had, they'd be better off.
Indeed, when you look at this and you say, well, okay, we have six public plans that are available on the shelf, and I hear people saying we ought to create a new one, I say, what, are they out of their mind? It makes me cringe to think of really being able to put together another public plan. We already have some, and pick one if we want to use that.
You know, that's really interesting, John, because the president... The president literally said last night, and I don't have the sound clip, but he literally said, because the question was, President Obama, will you be on the same health care plan as what you are now offering to the entire country? And he said, yes, it will be exactly the same. He thought it was funny. He said, yes, it will be exactly the same health care plan. But of course, I have a different one because, you know, I got a doctor around me all the time. But hey, I'm the president. And it was like, okay. But he was saying that it will be exactly the same. And it sounds like Cortese, whatever his name is, he doesn't agree with that. They won't be the same health care plan.
No, and it's some new system. But I think the point he makes is we've got six government health care systems in place right now. And he names all six of them, including the obscure TRICARE. And these are all for the government. And, you know, these are, you know, Medicare, Medicaid,
Blue Cross Blue Shield Administration. No, that's
Why don't we just turn one of them into the National Health Care System? Why do we have to have a whole nother one, a seventh?
More money for them.
Yeah, it's another bureaucracy they're creating. It's bullshit is what it is. Let's face it.
So the entire bill can be found in the show notes at noagenda.mevo.com and noagenda.squarespace.com. I just want to give you a quick rundown. To find out more about the hint of a national ID card, that's page 58. U.S. government having immediate access to every bank account, page 59. There's a lot of information here about what doctors can or cannot own. They're not allowed to own a certain amount of the hospital. That starts around page 317. This is another nice one. All American citizens ordered to give the U.S. government power of attorney over their living will. That starts around page 425.
Oh, I'm sorry, what's this?
Yeah, I can pull it up for you. Do you have that in front of you?
We'll just summarize.
The government will have a new power of attorney over your living will.
That's weird.
Well, the whole thing
is
weird.
I wonder what that means.
John. Well, let me get some of the verbatim text for you. Hold on, because I just did some notes here. 425... Here we go. Okay. Such consultations shall include the following. An explanation by the practitioner of advanced directives, including living wills and durable powers of attorney and their uses. An explanation by the practitioner of the role and responsibility of a healthcare proxy. See, it's hard to understand this language. That's why I'm not quite sure if I'm reading into it properly. But
yeah,
when I see this stuff,
I wish some people would go and to start dissecting
this
thing.
Yeah, how about the people we elected?
Why don't you
go and do it? An end-of-life plan now for each American citizen?
Two to the head.
Yeah. And of course, they slipped in a really nice one about marriage. And they, I guess this is where we finally determine if you can be married, whether you're gay or not. That starts around page 487 or 489, actually. The government can decide who and who cannot be married or what constitutes a marriage. So this is, if you're, I guess if you're gay, lesbian, whatever, and you consider yourself to be married, no health care for you.
Well, that doesn't make sense from the Obama perspective. It would be the opposite.
Oh, please. What do you mean? He's against gay marriage. He said it himself.
Mm.
He's against gay marriage. So is Joe Biden. This is no secret. That's the one thing they've been transparent about. People don't want to believe it.
The one thing they've been transparent. I wouldn't think they don't want to believe it because Obama is a Democrat.
You know, there was another question, and it's so expertly done. Because recently, all of the head honchos from the healthcare providers, met at the White House, and the White House would not provide a list of who the executives were, which of course, you know, the press gets all up in arms about that. And Obama said, well, you know, first of all, you know, you guys were there. This was a press, what do you call it? He called it a press photo spray. Which I was kind of like, whoa, that's like machine gun spray.
Really?
A photo spray. Yeah, and so you could see exactly who was there. And I think we've actually sent out a list as of this morning, blah, blah, blah. You know, but the question was about transparency and the fact that these health – and there's another great question, which I had as well, is why were these health care bill committee meetings not on C-SPAN? And the president goes, well, you know, there's other important stuff going on.
Wait a minute. Didn't he make a promise? It's one of his great promises that he was going to put all this stuff on C-SPAN.
Yeah, no. He said there was other important stuff going on, like the Finance Committee hearings.
And I watched C-SPAN. There was a lot of crap on. There wasn't anything important.
Of course.
Important.
It was Sotomayor. That was what was on the whole time while this health care bill
so
was
what? Yeah. Who needs to see that? It's the same. I mean, she's in anyway. What difference does it make?
I got to play it again.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
That's what it is, man. They're just covering that shit up. And we know she's going to get
Obama firm. Made a big point about saying that all this stuff was going to be on C-SPAN.
Yeah.
It's one of his promises.
Yeah. Well, it's not true.
There's a number of sites, by the way, people should check out. I sent you a link to one of the more interesting ones, which fairly objective, that lists all of Obama's, what he says he's going to do and what he's did and what he's not done. And
it's the Truthometer?
Yeah, that one. The Truthometer. It's a little left. It's a left-wing oriented. So I think this is one of the newspapers out of Florida.
But here it is. It's PolitiFact.com. That's the one you're talking about?
What is it? I'm sorry?
PolitiFact.com.
Maybe.
Truth-O-Meters-Statements.
Yeah, we'll have that in the show notes for people who want to check it out.
For sure.
But one of the things listed in there is that Obama's going to do all the stuff on C-SPAN so everyone can see it if they want to. And I don't see why he doesn't even do that, because who watches C-SPAN except you, me, and five other people?
We're the only guys.
Pretty much.
It's funny because
it's like C-SPAN's, he's got about the same number of listeners, minus a couple, as Fox Business.
And I had Nick over the other night from the office, and I have the TV on C-SPAN. And he says to me as he's leaving later that evening, he says, dude, why do you watch all those boring old dudes? What's that show about?
there you go. Welcome
that's your
to the
government.
Public at large.
That's yours. That's C-SPAN, man. That's where you can actually see what's going on. He's like, oh, it was pretty boring. You got Bravo?
No, nobody cares. And he's, he's just a general member of the public. They're all the same.
I would like to congratulate everyone listening, by the way, to this program, whether it's streamed or time shifted in podcast format. You truly are the people who will actually survive. You will live. They're the people who aren't tuned in at this level, who think, what the hell is this dumb show about? They're destined.
Right. There's plenty of them.
They're destined for death.
Who are these two idiots?
You are destined for death. That's just it. Forget about it. If you're listening, congratulations. You have lifted to a higher frequency. You actually have a shot at making it out alive.
And by the way, I don't want to start begging for money so soon in the show, but you can go to noagenda.squarespace.com and click on one of the buttons and help us out. Besides that, we need more people going to that site, because we just put it up and the numbers are kind of low. But we don't have a lot on there. I mean, I think people go to curry.com for most of this stuff.
I don't know. They get it from different places. Sibelius, yeah. By the way.
We definitely have a distributed mechanism.
Health Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, who, of course, John, as you know, is a Bilderberger.
So they say.
Yes. She was on Meet the Press. And, you know, I'm just going to put the link in the show notes because...
Isn't she another Jersey girl where there's just all this corruption going on?
Oh, totally. And so, what's the guy's name? It wasn't the regular... who's the guy on Meet the Press? I forget his name.
Yeah, there was a new guy this week.
Yeah. So he's actually pretty good. And he's saying, look, the CBO, which is the Congressional Board Oversight Committee or whatever that... It's like an accountant. It's like an independent accountant who looks at stuff the government is saying, and they do the math, and they said, well, as far as we can tell, this healthcare bill is going to cost more money. It's not going to save money. It's going to cost more money. So he lays it right out there.
Yeah, to the tune of a trillion and a half.
Yeah, he says it's going to cost more money, and she doesn't answer the question, John. She just sits there and goes, well, you know, the president is really on board with this, and he comes back at it again. He says, yeah, but they say it's going to cost more money. How does that jive with the whole idea of the bill, which at the top says to reduce healthcare costs? And she avoids the question continuously. You have to see it.
We should have had a dub of it.
Well, I have it here, but it doesn't stop. You know, well, hold on.
It just goes on and on. We answered the question, no. Why don't you just say, look? She should say, look, with the word look.
Look, yes.
Look. It is what it is.
As President Obama tried rallying lawmakers behind health care reform, he repeated a pledge meant to ease not just Republicans' concerns over costs, but some fellow Democrats as well.
I want to be very clear.
There it is.
I will not sign on to any health plan that adds to our deficits over the next decade.
I just want to hear that now, okay? Hear that. Hear what he says. This is his promise.
What he did not repeat was his call for the House and Senate to pass bills by August. A goal.
No, all right. That's not the piece I was looking for. He actually says, let me be clear in his email that he sent out to tune in.
Let me be clear or let me be very clear because he has two variations of that phrase.
I'm pulling it up. Here it is. That's why I'm holding a press conference. Blah, blah, blah. Insurance reform is so important. Let me be clear, colon.
Okay, so it's just to let me be clear.
Although Congress is still debating parts of the legislation, we have achieved critical consensus on several key areas.
He says, let me be very clear, I think, when he's slightly annoyed.
Yeah, he does. He does. But this
By
is
the way, somebody sent us a note saying they should turn that into a drinking game. He says it so much.
We'll be drunk. We'll be like Russians.
Russians.
We can't do that. Oh, boy. Anyway, that is also in the show notes if you want to go take a look at that at Meet the Press, where Sebelius just sits there and even Mickey's like, and she doesn't even have to listen to it. She's like, she's lying. She's sitting there lying the whole time. Lie. Another good analysis came out on Monday of the healthcare bill from a website called economicpolicyjournal.com. And I'll just, because they actually did a real nice, and of course, I can't really say if this is true or not because it's all interpretation. It's like this is law. It's like a legal document. So it's all open for interpretation. And you have to be a lawyer and you have to have billions of dollars to dispute this stuff. But just running down the list, the bill mandates government will audit books of all employers that self-insure. That would be us. Section 123, there will be a government committee that decides what treatments or benefits you get. Page 29.
So in other words, all companies are audited. Can be audited?
No, not can, will be audited.
Will?
Mm-hmm.
As in must be?
Well, if they're going to have a staff big enough, they'll be able to do it. No problem. So it says will. So I'm going to presume that's how they read it. The Health Choices Commissioner will choose your benefits for you. You have no choice. Government will have real-time access to individuals' finances, and a national ID health card will be issued. That is page 58. That's what I've been talking about. So real-time access to your bank account. Real-time. So, hey, let's see what Curry's doing.
Is that the noise they make when they do this?
That's how their computer systems sound, yeah. Government is creating a healthcare exchange to bring private healthcare plans under government control. True. I believe that to be true. That's on page 72. I mean, this thing just goes on and on. It's another great thing to look at. Treatment of certain cancer hospitals on page 272. They're going to ration. So, you know, they're going to decide when enough is enough. And having been through a parent who died of cancer, it's like, you know, you never think it's enough, right? You're like, well, why don't we just try this? Can we try this? One more thing. And now the government's going to say, sorry, no more. No more, no more treatment for you. And that's that sucks. Expansion, page 317, government mandating hospitals cannot expand. This I saw in many different parts throughout the bill. And this has to do with part of the ownership that doctors have. I mean, this is, it's disconcerting, to say the least.
Yeah, but, you know, marching ahead.
Hey!
And now, back to real news.
I Twittered the other day, as I think you and I discussed, I said, what are the 15 astronauts actually doing up on the International Space Station? You know, we shot off another one of them, what do you call them? Space shuttles that went up to the space station. And Lord knows what that cost to send one of those things up. And, of course, we are paying for it. And I just want, you know, I just don't, it doesn't cut it anymore for me to hear that they're doing experiments with mice and herbs and stuff. I mean, it's like, who cares? Tell me what they're really doing. We got 15 people up there. And the answer came to me almost immediately. As it turns out, the only toilet on board the International Space Station allegedly broke last week while in use when the motor fan suddenly stopped, leaving astronauts with no other option than to use the toilet on board the Soyuz capsule, the Russian crapper. The problem is that this particular toilet has limited capacity. No big dump for you. Luckily,
limited capacity. This is a crappy story.
But it's all over the news. The toilet
is really
broken.
This must have them pissed off.
To coin a pun there. Luckily, rescue is at hand since the space shuttle...
Why don't they just jettison the stuff into space and head, you know, just shoot it down to Earth?
Well, listen. So this actually came from before the space shuttle went off. And here it is. The problem is this particular toilet has limited... But luckily, rescue is at hand since the space shuttle Discovery is set to launch into space on Saturday in order to deliver the second section of the massive Japanese space laboratory Kibu. And, of course, they will have repair parts for the toilet. What are they doing up there, man? What are they doing on the space station? I just like to know.
One thing that they'd love to do, I know one thing that everyone kind of talks about in the Silicon Valley area is that it turns out you can make some massively interesting silicon crystals in a zero gravity environment.
Well, then just tell me that.
I just did.
Yeah, but that, why should that be a government project?
Well, you know, I don't know, because we need silicon for government missiles.
Very interesting article in the Los Angeles Times titled, A Time Bomb for World Wheat Crop. Now, of course, we know that Monsanto recently got the go-ahead for taking over a lot of the wheat production, I believe, in the United States, I think is what we discussed, John. And that, of course, will be their genetically modified version of wheat. So simultaneously, the UG99 fungus, also known as stem rust, could wipe out more than 80% of the world's wheat crop as it spreads from Africa. The race is on to breed resistant plants before it reaches the U.S. How convenient.
Wow.
The spores arrive from Kenya on dried infected leaves ensconced in multiple layers of envelopes. Whatever the fuck that means.
Somebody mailed them in.
They did. It's like, here's a story you should print, Los Angeles Times. It came in an envelope. Working inside a biosecure greenhouse outfitted with motion detectors and surveillance cameras, government scientists at the Cereal Disease Laboratory in—that's cereal as in C-E-R-E-A-L.
Yes, cereals.
Cereals in St. Paul, Minnesota, suspended the fungal spores in a light mineral oil and sprayed them onto thousands of healthy wheat plants. Yeah, good plan. After 2 weeks, the stalks were covered with deadly reddish blisters characteristic of the scourge known as UG-99. Nearly all the plants were goners. I love this writing. Crop scientists.
What cornball is writing this stuff?
I'm telling you.
They're goners.
You know who wrote it, John.
Monsanto. Yeah.
Crop scientists fear the UG-99 fungus could wipe out more than 80% of worldwide wheat crops as it spreads from eastern Africa. It has already jumped the Red Sea and traveled as far as Iran. We can't even get YouTube video out of Iran. How do they know that that shit's there? Anyway.
Here's a question on my mind. Is it the stuff so deadly, which apparently it is? How is it growing? Where's the wheat in? How's the wheat in Africa growing at all?
Well, experts say it's poised to enter the breadbasket of northern India and Pakistan, and the wind will inevitably
the rice eaters. You mean?
Yeah, the breadbasket, and the wind will inevitably carry it to Russia, China, even North America, if it doesn't hitch a ride with people first. Hitch a ride with people first. It's a time bomb, says Jim Peterson, professor of wheat breeding and genetics. Another Monsanto dude at Oregon State University. It moves in the air. It can move in clothing on an airplane. We know it's going to be here. It's a matter of how long it was going to take. I predict the TSA will now be scanning you for UG-99 fungus.
I think a lot of people that fly should be scanned for fungus.
Yeah. So that, of course, is very convenient for Monsanto's go-ahead to produce and sell genetically modified wheat. So besides, I mean, once you've got corn and wheat, we're pretty much genetically modified people, right? Because that's what we eat.
Well, actually, we're more of the corn people. We eat more corn than wheat.
Yeah, but they've already got the corn.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's pleasant news.
Yes.
Somehow I missed that one. We got the bat fungus, we got the dying bees, we got the now we got a wheat blight.
Surely
this just gives them another excuse to grow more corn.
Yeah, more genetically modified
and soybeans,
corn.
Which is totally engineered.
Well, there's almost no natural soy left in the world, right?
But there must be some in China.
Well, I thought didn't we have an article months ago about the Chinese freaking out because they want to have like real soy and not the Monsanto version?
Maybe. There's too much to keep track of.
But people don't really care. And I will tell you why I say that. Producer Aaron Spears sent in a note. Hey, Adam, just finished listening to 114. Heard you mention the film Food, Inc. towards the end and had to tell you about the audience we're getting for this film. I manage a 6-screen art house theater in Cleveland, Ohio, a self-righteous progressive stronghold, and have been amazed at the behavior of our audience when documentaries of this sort come out. So, of course, you know, this is Food, Inc., which is supposed to scare you about where our food actually comes from and how the pretty pictures on the packaging have nothing to do with how it's actually manufactured and genetically engineered. When we had an Inconvenient Truth show here, which was selling out weekend shows for months, there were companies that paid to have us hand out postcards promoting carbon offsets. I love this. And other such nonsense. Guess what the number one thing was we cleaned up in the theater after each show? Oh, yeah, the postcards. I'd say at least half of what was passed out ended up in the trash. Same thing happened when we showed The 11th Hour. Now we've been selling out shows of Food, Inc. However, the same kind of hypocrisy is taking place with the audience. People line up to get popcorn, popped in canola oil, with extra butter, soybean oil with artificial flavoring and lots of TBHQ, and Diet Coke, which of course contains all kinds of nasty Rumsfeld stuff, to go see the film about the poor quality of food coming out of the industrial food system. Just makes me laugh and then cry every day I'm at work.
That's good.
Anyway, thought you might enjoy that tidbit. Keep up the swine flu, Mexican flu, novel H1N1 reporting. My wife's son and soon to be born second child appreciate it, and I'll be donating as soon as my budget allows. Aaron, thank you very much. And this is true. This is the same thing with the you know, the so-called, you know, it's like, oh, horrible, the Iranian elections, they're all rigged, what a horrible country. We know one woman died, horrible, she got shot, I think probably even a stray bullet, doesn't matter. It was very visual, it was a horrific thing to see. Meanwhile, 130 people are being killed in Chinese riots, you don't read anything about. But what does this incredibly switched-on, intelligent audience do? I'm changing my Twitter icon to green. I'm so against the Iranian suppression. We've got, it's a green revolution. Those people will be the first to get two to the head.
You're on a roll today.
I'm feeling it, baby. Because I'm just giving up on trying to help people. The people who are listening to this show, I care about you. I love you. And the more we talk about this stuff, the more we just raise our awareness level, we'll be able to avoid most of the crap that comes down the pike. We'll be okay. Get your gold, avoid the shots, and you'll be fine.
Peculiar article sent to me by one of our producers and lawyers. DNA from genetically engineered foods can end up in your genes.
Here's a summary
of a piece. You should be so lucky. Tissues including meat of chicken who had eaten only genetically engineered BT corn were found to contain pieces of the DNA from this food.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, however, is that every cell in the plant GE foods contain genetically unstable DNA from the cauliflower mosaic virus. The DNA is suspected to be carcinogenic, blah, blah, blah. Moreover, the CAMV, which is the cauliflower thing, is related to human viruses that cause serious diseases, AIDS, and hepatitis B. The corn grains on one cob of GE can contain hundreds of millions of such pieces of DNA. This is one of several studies that established that the genes in the body may take up potentially harmful pathogenic viral DNA from genetically engineered food. Now, a lot of people, I had one of the guys who won some, he won a Nobel Prize. He's a famous scientist from San Diego, and he teaches down there. And I was asking him about this. You know, there was a thing called genetic therapy, where you can actually change the genes in your body.
Okay.
So in other words, so I asked him specifically because I thought it would be an interesting thing. What if you wanted to change somebody's genetic structure so they've been a lifetime brunette and you wanted to make them a redhead? Could you do it in real time?
Or could you give them a big rack?
There you go. Same thing. He said, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So you could change the stuff in real time. So that means that it's possible that, you know, what this summary of this article is, in other words, you're eating screwball. I mean, I think this will come to a head when somebody eats something and starts glowing the next day, you know, or having an electric charge.
So it can have an immediate effect?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello. That's pretty spectacular.
Well, it would be in the case of the big front, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened to you? I don't know. I've just been eating corn.
It's them grits.
Anyway, it's just all bad.
Yeah, I mean, this is what people don't realize. You know, you've probably heard the saying, you are what you eat.
A German research group led by Professor Walter Dorfler at the University of Cologne has repetitively demonstrated that a large enough pieces of DNA to contain a gene may survive digestion.
Right. It means it doesn't break down, it stays in your body and becomes a part of you.
Moreover, Dorfler showed that these absorbed pieces of DNA were taken up in the tissues of mice and ended up inside the cells.
Yeah. That's what it does. And, you know, I was talking to Mickey this morning. She says, you know, I've got this. What do you want for breakfast? I love her when she makes me breakfast. And she says, do you want some soy milk? I'm like, soy milk? What? Soy milk? And then I lay into this whole thing. I said, you know, I was drinking soy milk for a year or two. And then John said, hey, man, that'll make your brain shrink. And then I started looking into it. And the audience, producers started sending all these detailed accounts about what soy can do. And so I said, you know, so really this, you know, it will make your brain shrink and it's not good for you.
Turn you into a woman.
And then, you know, and she said, well, so, you know, why, what is it with soy? And I said, well, for the same reason when they feed this crap to laboratory mice, they die 2 weeks later. That's the stuff that's happening. You die from it. Slowly. Something weird going on, John, you know, my...
By the way, I've got a link that you can put in the show notes that that Steck just gave me, which is the government gene. It's a human genome project information and a whole thing from the government working on gene therapy. And the question is, why is the government working on gene therapy? We'll find out.
Because
anyway,
they can.
You'll love this. This goes in the show notes. Yeah. People will get a kick out of reading
it. Put
it
on Skype so I don't forget it.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
So, you know, of course, my theory that the one of the main reasons, if not the only reason, we are in Afghanistan is to protect our investment in the poppy fields, since it's pretty clear, as documented over and over and over again, that the U.S. military transportation, not necessarily the U.S. military personnel, but the cover of the military is being used to transport heroin all over the Western world. And, you know, if you look at where all the camps are in the Helmand province, they're all surrounding the poppy fields. And now all of a sudden, the U.S. military is bombing poppy seeds. They're collecting the poppy seeds. It's like a, it's almost like a little show going on here. It's like, let's.
You mean, what do you mean they're bombing poppy seeds?
Okay. The U.S. military bombed about 300 tons of poppy seeds in a dusty field in southern Afghanistan today. So they're not actually bombing the fields, but they're taking 300 tons of poppy seeds, putting them in the middle of the desert, and then blowing them up. Now, here's what I wanted to get to. This is a news clip, and of course, the link will be in the show notes. I'd really appreciate it if our producers could look at this. It's a CNN news clip. And tell me that the military... So there's a guy with a flak jacket standing in a dusty surrounding, which is probably Universal Studios Lot D. And you see behind him, you see what looks like military personnel transporting big sacks, which apparently are of poppy, onto a flatbed truck, which then they apparently are going to go blow up. So I'd like you to look at this and tell me if these uniforms even remotely resemble those of U.S. Marines. Here's a little bit of the clip, just so you can listen to it. Oh, crap, why is that not working?
Have moved into this area. They've been searching through the stalls here. And as we can see here, they're loading up thousands of bags of poppy seed. Why poppy seed? This is a major drug producing region. More than 90%.
So there's like 10 guys carrying these bags, which may be filled with sawdust for all I know. And they're putting it onto a flatbed truck. But I keep stopping the video and they just don't look like Marine uniforms, John. Yeah, they're camouflage.
We have some Marines that listen to our show.
I know we do. Please take a look at it, because even their demeanor, even the way they're walking, they look like mercenaries. They don't look
Marines have a certain style, and so mercenaries are different.
Yes, yeah. Marines have a pride and a way they walk, and these guys are like all decked out with, you know, like mirrored sunglasses. And I'm just saying, you know, I'm like Blackwater. That's all I'm seeing.
The world's heroin and opium products come from Afghanistan, and a bulk of that comes from Afghanistan's.
So anyway, how stupid is this? You know, so the whole idea is, well, we want to cut the Taliban drug ties. You know, we've got to reduce the Taliban's income.
This sounds to me like they're going to plant poppies so they can have a bigger crop, and this is the way of doing it.
Well, if you really want to get rid of it, then why wouldn't you go to the fields? No, they're taking the actual harvested crop, and then they're going and burning it up.
I thought they were. You said they were going to blow it up.
Well, yeah, blow it up, burn it up, blow
it
up.
Yeah, but how about this for blowing it up? Not blowing it up at all, but just spreading it with a bomb.
Yeah, but that's what they're not doing. So it's just like.
I'm confused by the story.
Anyway, here's where you'll start to understand it. It's a challenge to deliver assistance in a war zone. You can hear fighter jets flying above us right now, said Rory Donahue, a USAID development officer.
Ooh, USAID. There we go.
Yeah, this USAID guys are all over the place. And of course, these are the true economic hitmen.
Yeah, actually, one of our listeners is a USAID guy, and he says that we're wrong.
Oh, yeah?
That's what he told me.
Gee, figures he'd say we're wrong.
Well, he doesn't seem like a bad guy.
Should we hit some real news for a second?
Yeah, we need to get
back. Now, back to real news.
People have been sending this to us as a two-to-the-head story, which is funny. Of course, this is the Chinese worker who apparently misplaced an iPhone fourth generation and then winds up suicided. And yeah. So the story is
thrown off a roof.
Yeah. People say, oh, you don't want to mess with Apple.
Apple goons.
Yeah. Apple goons. Who, just like Goldman Sachs, had stellar profits. How do they do that? How do they do that?
Nobody's buying anything but Apple, I guess. I don't know. It's amazing because Apple's one of the few companies where the profits and the sales are up. Everybody else, profits are up, but sales are down. You know, people say, well, how do you do that? Well, you just fire everybody.
Yeah, well, that's one way. That's one way. I mean, it's a lot of these companies reporting better profits. It is indeed all through cost-cutting measures. That's how you make your profits go up as well. But I think their revenues were pretty good, weren't they? Apple's revenues?
Yeah, no, everything's up there. Everything's peachy. Apple's on a roll, and now that, you know, the stock is flying because everybody suspects, let me give a little background. Everybody suspects that when they open up China, the company's going to make so much money they won't know what to do with it. The stock will go to 300. Meanwhile, this loss of this 4G phone in a country that counterfeits things like there's no tomorrow. Seems to me, as soon as they roll out their phone in China, there's going to be a Chinese clone of it, a counterfeit, you know, copy of it that will be just as good. You won't know the difference because if you've ever been to China and picked up some of these things, they're identical and they look like they're made in the same factories, even though they aren't necessarily. And they'll flood the market with these things if they become popular. And Apple will only get a piece of the action if they get any, because these things will be selling for $50 and Apple's will be selling for $200.
Right. So there's a lot of money riding on it. So yeah. Apple goons probably did throw the guy off the roof.
Well, they, you know, the thing is, somebody mentioned to me on the Cranky Geek show that we did last Wednesday that Chinese are going to copy the iPhone whether they get the prototype or not. But it would be nice to have the prototype in advance of the rollout, and you might even get your phone out before Apple does.
Yeah, that's funny. Hey, show, you have two more sound clips here. Do you want to use those for this episode?
Yeah, let's use the this goes back to the healthcare thing, but I want to mention something that's disconcerting. Play the what are the two clips? I have
Cap and Trade and Healthy Economy Now.
We better play the Cap and Trade one. The other one we can put off till Sunday, which is cuz I got to get another clip.
Okay. You want to set it up?
You know the Cap and Trade thing?
Well, yeah, cap and trade is.
No, I mean they had the debate in Congress. Afterwards, it turns out, and I have another set of clips that after that's over, people could come up and they make comments. They say, you know,
after the debate is over,
after everything's over and they've closed the debate and everybody's left, these guys start to make comments. And I was going to erase, you know, I was erasing this, and I said, well, I never even picked up on these comments. But here's an example of two comments that took place after the cap and trade debate, and I don't have the guys' names in front of me, but one of them is a Republican, the first guy, and then the second guy is the Democrat, and you can kind of see the orientation of the two groups and the one group that thinks that they've got it knocked. You might as well play it.
For what purpose, gentleman from Texas rises?
To address the House for 1 minute.
There's no objection. The gentleman is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, just moments ago on this floor, there was cheering, there was clapping over the passing of the crap and trade bill.
Did he say crap and trade?
Yeah, he said crap and trade.
He said crap and trade. That's funny. Here we go.
Over the passing of the crap and trade bill.
And it's like, homo says what? Well, some guys should just do that. They'll go mumble something, and the speaker goes, what did one of the gentlemen from Texas say? Homo says what? That would be funny. Let's do it again.
Trade bill. And it's a little tough to get excited. You know, from a political standpoint, I should be overjoyed because I really believe in my heart.
So he's a Democrat.
No, he's the Republican. He's the one that says crap and trade. He's the Republican.
Okay. Well, because he says from the political point.
No, you got to listen to him because he's being sarcastic.
Okay.
American people find out, and this is just a part of it, when they find out what has been done to them, they are going to be livid and they're going to throw some people out of this body. I just know that'll happen. But I care more about America than I do politics. And I know that we'll be facing the single moms that heard from last summer. They can't afford the gasoline bill. They can't afford the propane. You didn't do a great thing. You hurt some really decent families struggling, trying to make it. And this is going to be their death knell. It breaks my heart. I yield back.
Wow.
Now, here comes the Democrat.
Let me just ask you a question. Propane. Do you use propane?
No.
Who uses propane?
everybody in Texas.
So the Democrat is on the same clip?
No, yeah, the Democrat's coming up on the same clip. He's from Tennessee, and he you can see where he's coming from.
Are there any further requests for 1 minute? Gentleman from Tennessee, what proceed rise?
Press the House for 1 minute.
There's no objection. The gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, sir. This is Black Music Month, and we had a resolution to introduce.
What did he call it?
Black Music Month.
This is Black Music Month, and we had a resolution to introduce and pass celebrating the 30th anniversary of Black Music Month. Because of the schedule, it didn't come up, and that's why I wanted to address that back today. Black Music Month is important as it reminds people of the history of music in this...
What?
It's got nothing to do with anything.
What the hell is that?
They just finished the crap and trade argument, and this guy's going off. And I got example after example. The Republicans come out and they moan and groan about something, and then the Democrats say, you know, I'd like to talk about marmots in the state of Kentucky.
That's funny. I mean, I'm all for Black Music Month.
Yeah.
Get Kanye West on the floor. Yeah. This healthy economy now is only 29 seconds. You want to hit that or not?
Yeah, this is part. There's a going on right now in California, I know, and I'm sure in the rest of the country, there is an advertising campaign done by one group called, you know, this one's called American Economy, Healthy America, or something like that. I wrote it down somewhere and I can't find it. And the other one is done by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees, which is a union. And when I looked at who runs this particular operation, where I have the clip from, this is actually SEIU, which is the Service Employees International Union. So these unions are pushing the following advertisement on the public. There's about five variations of this that I can tell. I've got two of them. And play it.
If we don't act, medical bills will wipe out their savings. If we don't act, she'll be denied coverage because of a pre-existing condition. And he won't get the chemotherapy he needs. If we don't act, healthcare costs will rise 70%, and he'll have to cut benefits for his employees. But we can act. The President and Congress have a plan to lower your costs and stop denials for pre-existing conditions. It's time to act.
Yeah, you know, I was going to mention that I was scanning around the channels yesterday, and every single news, cable news channel is just... all the programming, and of course programming, as you know, John, having worked in television, is only there to fill up the gaps between the commercials. Every commercial pod is filled with either pharmaceutical ads or all these ads to pass the healthcare bill. And this is just one version of it. I mean, I have heard so many different ones.
Well, here's the other one. The AFSCME version is more interesting because it's advocating, that you contact Dianne Feinstein, mm-hmm. And tell her to vote for the bill. She's a Democrat. She's voting for the bill. But and why is it Dianne Feinstein and not Barbara Boxer that you're supposed to contact? Unless this is just essentially a cheap promotion for Dianne Feinstein, you know, by mentioning her name over and over and over again because she's closely connected with AFSCME, which is a union.
No, John. It's psychological warfare. It's psyops. It's real easy. I mean, you want – first of all, no one even knows who's a Republican or a Democrat. They say, I'll call her. Yeah, sure. And then
I still think it's coming out of her office so she can go and say, I have gotten all these letters, and 90% of them tell me to vote for this bill, so that's why I'm voting for the bill. It's kind of a cover-your-ass approach.
But you have to question – and any normal thinking person who probably listens to this show, you have to question the validity of the programming if it is completely paid for by the pharmaceutical industry and all these special interest groups who are telling you to vote for this health care bill.
How
can they be objective? They can't because we are in the advertising business. This is just why this show has no advertising, because if I sat here and said, you know, swine flu vaccinations are going to kill you, don't take them, and then we're talking about genetically modified wheat and then we have a Monsanto commercial, the show would end very, very quickly. It would be over.
No, I'm not going to argue the point, but there's another point here that I want to mention that actually is more galling. I thought channel that one of these the ads that you just heard there was on Channel 11 KNTV, the NBC affiliate in the Northern California. These are the same people, along with KGO, says they do not take advocacy ads. They do not take activist ads, so we cannot run the marijuana ad. And they run in this.
Well, of course, because these are the guys that have tons and tons of money.
It's a little annoying to me that these guys make a big stink about not running the marijuana ad, the woman who wants to legalize it, and then they push in this stuff. As this looks like an advocacy ad, if it has ever been.
Of course it's an advocacy ad, by the way, and everything's filled with it. It's filled with it.
Anyway.
You know, there was another pharma ad that I saw, which really blew me away. I'm just looking for it. It was sent to us by a producer. Hold on, because it involved a new product, which I had not heard of yet. Oh, boy. Let's see. I want to look for the 22nd.
Oh, these guys need to develop a new antibiotic.
Well, no. Again, you know, the pharma industry, which is just so incredibly big and so ingrained into the whole system, all these patents are running out, which I'm sure is why ACTA, which we haven't talked about in a while, but I'm sure ACTA is going to have a lot to do with the patents on pharmaceutical inventions. You know, so all these drugs, many of these drugs really good and do save lives, but, you know, they've been around for, how long does a patent last on?
26 years.
Is that it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Hmm.
They figure if you can't make your money in 26 years, you know, we got to get this stuff into the public domain.
So I guess I'm not able to find. Anyway, it's a medicine that actually grows your eyelashes, and they've got.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Who is working on these things and why?
Wait, what was the name of it? Because I want to find that.
I can't remember the name of it, but it grows your eyelashes. This is creepy.
Let's see, Shields. I can find it in Gmail. I thought I had tagged that for this episode. Hold on.
Yeah, we'll get it on Sunday.
Oh no, I'll get it. It'll. Maybe I deleted it. What was I thinking?
Maybe you were too tempted.
How do you spell Brooke? With an E?
Brooke Shields? Well, there's also Brooks. Talking about our guy?
No, I'm talking about Brooke Shields.
With an E. B-R-O-O-K-E.
Yeah, maybe somehow it got deleted. Oh, well, that's too bad. I'll find it for Sunday, because when you see the commercial, it's even better. But when you listen to it, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, it's a creepy product.
Okay, so what we haven't talked about, John, you know.
Swine flu.
Yes. And Freeze M76.
Our lawyer, by the way, says the patents last 17 to 20 years, depending on filing date. My understanding was 26, but okay.
Freeze M76, probably an alias, says, Adam, time for some real news, and it's really time to really move the swine flu agenda forward. We need a celebrity to die from swine flu. And
didn't we suggest this earlier?
And now, back to real news.
Here it comes, straight out of Gitmo Nation East. The big news is the Sugar Babes have been struck by swine flu. UK girl band The Sugar Babes have been struck down with the deadly swine flu. Band members Heidi Range and Emil Baraba have been put into quarantine after the... I'm sorry, I can't read it with a straight face. Have been put into quarantine after they developed symptoms of the virus. Keisha, 24, admitted, I definitely don't have the swine flu, but the other girls are all ill with it. We've had to cancel all our events for the next week or so while the girls get better. I can't believe I know someone who has swine flu. I'm sure we'll all laugh when it's over, though. The girls were due to meet the U.S. music mogul Jay-Z this week to talk over promoting their new single, Get Sexy, in the States. But they've been ordered to cancel all promotional duties on their new track for at least 2 weeks, including their slot at the Reading and Leeds festivals this weekend. This is big news, John.
And now, back to real news.
Well, you know, if I was one of these celebrities, I don't know how many celebrities per se listen to our show, but I would not let them quarantine me, and I wouldn't even go get tested, because if they take you off the radar, you know, and then the next thing you know, you get the report that you're dead, they get the dead celebrity they want, because it would be useful to promote swine flu vaccine to have a dead celebrity.
Of course. in the UK, and once again, John, we were way ahead of the curve. We already called this. Remember, we were laughing about the phone consultations, and they should just have a, you know, if you are coughing, press one. If you're hawking up mucus, press two. You have the swine flu. So the United Kingdom is now going to open up a call center. Where you can actually call in if you suspect that you have the swine flu. And these will be manned. 2,000 people will be on the phones telling you if you indeed have the swine flu based upon your answers. And then you can have a swine flu buddy. A swine flu buddy can then go pick up some Tamiflu for you.
Brother.
Looks like they're starting trials in Australia, actually starting, as well as Canada. Let me, they've started the trials in Australia. Hold on, I'm gonna, this was sent to me, Australia. This was sent to me by several of our producers out there listening to No Agenda.
Yeah, I got one of them too.
Do you have one handy?
No, because my email box seems to be not doing its search properly. I'm going to have to pre-open these files before we do the show. So, no, I don't.
Hold on a second.
Very annoying.
Here it is. This is from Alexei. Sydney. Australia on Wednesday began human trials for a swine flu vaccine as concerns grew over the disease after its global death toll passed 700. Some 240 adults and 400 children are involved in the trial at the Royal Adelaide Hospital, with the government hoping to start mass immunization within months. As soon as I have confirmed that the vaccine is safe and effective, I will ensure it can be rolled out to the community, Health Minister Nicola Roxon said. Of course, Australia has already ordered 21 million shots, though I guess that would be enough for everybody. So here it is. This is the thing that really freaked me out. The CSL, CSL Biotherapies, CSL Limited, is who's developing this vaccine, said many people had volunteered for the swine flu vaccine trial because they wanted to avoid catching the disease. We're talking about kids between 6 months and 9 years. Yeah, they volunteered. A six-month-old kid held up his hand and said,
right. What a crock. That's a good one.
It involves two injections and two blood tests. And what they're actually doing, John, is they're, so the first injection is, you know, of a regular dose, and then they get a double dose just to see if there's a difference, if it works if, better.
Yeah, yeah, right. See if it kills them.
So they've actually started. And you know, who is this CSL all of a sudden? Where are all the other guys? How many companies are making this stuff?
It looks like about a half a six or so, it looks like to me. And I think they're all variations. I'm telling you, this is, you know, although the, you know, the, some people think this is an attempt to kill, cull the public, I still think it's just an attempt to find an adjuvant that works. And they're going to just use the public as a test bed.
I'm sending you, I'm forwarding you a message from Doc, who I've been working with for a long time on podcasting. He actually got me set up on Ableton Live, which has been a lifesaver for me to be able to produce this show. He's a doctor, and he has sent me, when I was doing the daily source code, he would send me information. He specializes in vaccinations, and he knows a lot about this stuff. And he sent let me read this to you, what he says. Always following on agenda. Consequences of vaccination are a central point in my job. This often puts me in conflict with the rest of the medical community, but I have to say he's Italian, so it's a little off. You're doing a good investigative work and you are on the right path. If you like, I can give you a lot of info about adjuvants, old and new, are dangerous. How Guillain-Barré is only the tip of the iceberg. How Big Pharma knows this and how Big Pharma wants this and gets revenue from this. Find attached a slide from one of my presentations from last year. It's about Gardasil. This is the HPV injection, John, which now I'm more convinced probably was a pre-adjuvant test. You can get a hint of the effect of adjuvants. So if you look at this chart, do you have it there?
No, I don't. And by the way, hepatitis B is another one of these that uses adjuvants to an extreme.
So he had so it's
which a, is a non. I, it's like a not unnecessary. I went to my doctor. I said, "What's this with this?" Because I heard about this. I said, "Who's and he's a reasonably good doctor." I said, "What's with this hepatitis B vaccine?" He says, "You don't want a hepatitis B vaccine." He says, "You're working with blood all day." It's the only people that need it.
So this this chart would you can't get your email at all?
No.
Oh, it sucks. It's the post-dose evaluation of injection. I can't read
that.
Did
you send me a link to it on the Skype
thing? Well, it's not a link. It's
Oh, it's on the it's email.
Well, hold on a second. I can I can do that. Hold on. I'll do that for you. Hold on, let me just you'll freak out at this chart. You just gonna love it. Hold on. Okay. Cuz it has yeah, you can, this will probably kill our Skype connection, but it's worth
it. Not necessarily.
It has the adverse experience of pain, swelling, or erythema.
Arrhythmia.
Arrhythmia. What's arrhythmia?
It's palpitations of the heart.
Right. So after receiving a vaccine, after receiving an aluminium-containing placebo, and after receiving a saline placebo, and you'll see what kind of stuff is going on here. So I guess it's okay for me to put that chart in the show notes. I'll wait. I know he's listening, so I'll wait until he confirms that.
Is it his chart?
It's his chart. Yeah,
he might have to cover up some data.
Yeah. So I won't post that until I hear from.
We don't like to bust our moles.
No. So let me see. There was Canada also gearing up for the trials. Let me get. There you go. Let me get that.
So I'm looking at it.
It did kind of screw up the Skype a little bit.
This is erythema. I don't know what erythema is.
I don't either.
I'll look it up.
So
E-R-Y-T-H-E-M-A, if somebody wants to look it up on the chat room.
So I know that you received this email, although you might have kind of read over it. This was from this was aired on or on the website of KPBS, where a Barbara Ferrer, executive director of the Boston Public Health Commission, says...
But by the way, I'm looking at this chart. So if you're going to get a shot, tell people, whoever's doing it, you want the saline placebo.
Hey, can I have the placebo, please? Don't actually give me the shot. I don't want the real deal.
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, I'm looking for... This is such a wonderful article. This is where you bust someone. This person says that they have never used adjuvants in vaccines in America ever.
That's not... No, he says in flu vaccines.
In flu vaccines. Yeah,
yeah, but I think that's true. With all the other vaccines, a lot of them have it.
You really think they've never used it in a flu vaccine?
I don't see why they'd have to, because they always can crank out enough of this stuff. They don't need the adjuvants. I don't know that it's true, but it doesn't strike me as not being true.
Okay. Well, when I read that, I kind of read it differently. And I was like, well, wait a minute. How can you say that we have never used
adjuvants? Yeah, just flu, specific to flu, the seasonal flu vaccine. Because, you know, I know that hepatitis B, for example, definitely has it. And,
yeah, you're right. The problem is no U.S. flu vaccine has ever included an adjuvant. And in Europe, experience with adjuvant-containing flu vaccines has been limited to vaccines for the elderly. Yeah, kill them first. While the target for pandemic H1N1 vaccine will largely be children and younger. I love that. The target for the pandemic. There was another thing. The World Health Organization held a meeting with all of the health commissioners from their member states, and they refused to release minutes. Even better than that, they say no minutes were taken of this meeting. So, you know, that's bad news.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're covering something up when they don't take minutes. The Bite Law says that the reason they're doing the testing, they're going to turn these people into antibody breeders. So you get a whole big test group, and then you lock them up, and then you suck the blood out of them, because that's where you can get your...
that's where you get what? You get your vaccine?
You get your vaccine from their blood.
Cool.
It's a science fiction story. I've read it.
We could write it, dude. We could so totally write this one. Swine flu shots to boost Baxter. Company reports second quarter profit increased by 13%. 2009 forecast raised. Yeah, duh. Of course, let's not forget this is an Illinois-based company, Chicago to be exact. This is all part of the Chicago thugs that have taken
over
our
country. Ever since they put the live avian flu in their vaccines, I don't see how they can even be in business. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And no one has investigated that. There's no, you know. There was someone did ask the equivalent of a congressional question in the Dutch parliament. No answer has come in yet, but I did see the question. I think it was the Socialist Party. It was the Party for Animals. There's an actual animal party in Holland. And they did ask the health minister, hey, you know, what's going on? What's with the forced vaccinations? Have you heard about Baxter? You know, they'll get an answer sometime after the recess, I'm sure. And then my sister, who lives in Gitmo Nation East in Italy, she sent in a pretty interesting article, which I didn't even know you hadn't read, John. This is...
No, I end up blogging it, though.
You want to just summarize it?
Yeah, summarize it.
No, I want you to summarize it.
Oh, yeah, some woman who is a science writer with kind of a sketchy career has sued the WHO, Barack Obama, and everybody and their sister for attempting to euthanize the public with the swine flu shots, which she says are illegal and forced vaccination. It's a very interesting thing. It's probably easier to read the whole thing on the blog than listen to the summary, but it's an actually interesting lawsuit, but And it's kind of backed up, unfortunately, by David Ickes and all the other.
David Icke. Oh, here I found Latisse, John.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
She in the house there?
No, Latisse.
Oh, you're talking about the rapper.
Grow lashes, grow longer, grow fuller, and darker lashes.
Grow? How's that?
Oh, wanted to
possible?
Start.
I'm using Latisse, the first and only FDA-approved prescription treatment for inadequate or not enough lashes.
Inadequate or not enough lashes. FDA-approved for your convenience.
It's unbelievable.
Listen to this thing. It's great.
Treatment for inadequate or not enough lashes.
It's actually... Ooh, wait a minute. Here's the name of it, John. It's called Bimatropost Ophthalmic Solution.
What is he pronounce these things like my wife?
Hey. Latisse Solution is a prescription treatment for hip trichosis used to grow eyelashes, making them longer, thicker, and darker. But now listen to the side effects.
Treatment for inadequate or not enough lashes. Applied nightly as instructed by your doctor, Latisse grows lashes in as little as 8 weeks, with full results in 12 to 16.
If you are using prescription products for lowering eye pressure or have a history of eye pressure problems, only use Latisse under close doctor care. May cause eyelid skin darkening, which may be reversible. And there is potential for increased brown iris pigmentation, which is likely permanent. If you develop or experience any eye problems or have eye surgery, consult your doctor immediately. Common side effects include itchy eyes and eye redness.
Grow longer, fuller, darker lashes.
Yeah, and bloodshot eyes. Right for you. How do you like my lashes, honey? I don't know. You look like you've been smoking dope for a month.
Wait, here's the best part. Here it comes.
Right for you. Find a doctor at Latisse.com today.
So find a doctor at Latisse.com.
Oh, these doctors should be boycotted. Anybody on that list?
And it's Brooke Shields doing this whole commercial. So
I know Brooke Shields should. This is terrible.
Yeah, and I really like her. I want to like her, but I can't like her anymore. This is so wrong. It's so wrong.
Is she using it?
Oh, probably not. We when we were talking about the co-op, what was that, John? The national, what was that thing we were talking about? Wondering if it was a commercial entity.
part of the USA. That operation that we looked into last week.
Yeah, so producer Brett says, I went to Cincinnati and was in the co-op engineering program. I assure you that it's a for-profit enterprise, and the students get paid. I did quite nicely, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's good to know.
At least they're passing the money around to the students, the kids, the children.
Yes, that's good. It's a good thing. Here we go. Mass immunization exercise in Canada. Andrew from Gitmo Nation, Gitmo Nation Light, as we call it, up there in Canada. After listening to all your reports on forced vaccinations in the U.S., Adam and John, I started to look around to see if there's anything happening in Canada. To my surprise, the Canadian federal government, along with the provincial government of Ontario, have been running mass immunization exercises in Canada. These exercises have been happening in the northern parts of the province, away from the media and cameras, and have been run using the Oneida of the Thames and Constant Lake First Nation communities. What are these, like Eskimos?
First Nations? Constant Lake refers to all Native livers. They're not Native Americans, but they're Native Canadians.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
North Americans. They selected these groups of people due to the, quote, different populations, geographic circumstances, and emergency plans, and each carried out the exercise differently to reflect their specific circumstances and needs. Nonetheless, common goals and outcomes were identified through a coordinated approach and can be taken into consideration by other communities planning mass immunization exercises in Ontario. The exercise tested each community's ability to provide immunization safely and efficiently to as many people as possible in a one-hour period.
Yeah. What are they going to do?
Can you say genocide?
In 1 hour.
Man, it's like, boof, 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 boof.
God.
Like hammering that shit out. So there's, he has so much. I wish he had a link to some of this. But
they're going to have to go back to the gun if they're going to do that much shooting.
The vaccine gun.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's just so much. You know, and I'd really like to ask you to no longer email me these stories because I can't keep track of them. If you put them at drop.io/dailysourcecode, or I think it's actually noagendadrop.com.
You can email them to me, but you have to put no agenda or NA in the subject line.
And John, if you'd like a nice little trip, we could take some of our money and go to Cannes. For PanFluVac, which is another fine conference.
In Cannes?
Yes, in Cannes. That's right.
I like the way they're going with such a low-budget operation.
PanFluVac, or efficacious vaccine formulation system for prophylactic control of influenza pandemics. Is a specific targeted research and innovation project financed by the 6th Framework Program of the European Union. Yes, let's go to Cannes, European Union bastards. PanFluVac.org.
In the middle of summer, so we can go to the topless beach and look around.
Nice rack. Hey, I got some jeans for you.
I couldn't find a hotel in Cannes, so I had to stay in Saint-Tropez down the street.
Oh,
jeez. If they'd hold the thing in, like, you know, Dusseldorf, it would make more sense in terms of the fact it's a junket.
Of course it's a junket. Of course. It's a huge junket.
And the problem is, of course, being there, that would take all of our monies out of the entire fund that we are putting together so we can do a third show a week. That's what we're trying to do, but we're still not getting
enough.
We're getting
money.
You know, we get a lot of people. We get on Sunday, I'll list the current donors, but we still need more donations. We have a lot of listeners, and I know a lot of them don't want to donate to anything, and which I don't blame them, even though, you know, by the way, you can take debit cards, they to do checks. This is the system we're using, pretty much takes any kind of money anyway. You can deliver it, and we need that. You know, get a $24 a year subscription, or send us $50 or $100. It'd be great. We've got one guy who sent us $51.54, who I'll mention by name on Sunday. But what do you think 51.54 is? This is one of the more weirder screwball things anyone's come up with.
I have no idea. What's 51?
If you punch in H1N1 on your phone keypad.
Oh, 50. Good one. 51.54. I like it. But we thought it should just be our code, 51.54.
Well, maybe it's 51. Yes, 51, 53, 21. Anyway, that doesn't sound right because it would have to be 51, 54.
H1, N1. No, it can't be. It would have to be H1. 51, 41? Maybe it's 41?
H1, N5.
Oh, H... No, because it would be...
Well, maybe I got the wrong number. We'll figure it out on Sunday. We'll talk about it.
I'll take the money anyway. I don't care. It's good. Take the money.
I can't keep track. I can't get my email. So we need some more help. So go to noagenda.squarespace.com. You can read the show notes there, and there's also a couple of buttons you can push. Or you can go to dvorak.org/NA. We really seriously appreciate it. And we want to thank everybody who has contributed, by the way, because there's been a lot of people. And... it's a small percentage of the listeners, but we want to thank all of them, and we'll mention all the $50 and $100 donors on Sunday.
Yeah, there are many people who just don't have the financial.
Yeah, there's a lot of students, and we're not saying you have to, you know, absolutely. But the fact is, we don't want to do advertising for obvious reasons. That from the nature of the show, it's not going to really be practical.
No, because
we can put some link. You know, we will have some probably, like for example, Squarespace donated the website, the noagenda.squarespace.com, and so we'll have a link to them. But that's, you know, nothing we'd even discuss. It's not a political thing.
Let me just tell you about a couple of other links that because I didn't realize this until I went to noagendaforums.com the other day, and I scrolled down to the bottom. Let me just, John, there are links out there that is, it's unbelievable. And I encourage you to go to noagendaforums.com. So, of course, we have noagenda.squarespace.com. We have dvorak.org/NA, noagenda.mevio.com, noagendastream.com, then channelcurry.com.
And noagendachatroom, the noagendachat.com.
Noagendachat.com, noagendadrop.com, noagenda.mobi, noagenda.nl. We have a Facebook page. We have noagendawiki.com, noagendajingles. We have...
By the way, we're not doing these sites.
No, we're not. Then there's a mobile BlackBerry app, which I didn't even know about, bb.noagendaforums.com. There are, I think, two or maybe three No Agenda apps in the iTunes store. So just search for No Agenda in the iTunes app store. And this is because clearly we must be doing something right. And that's another fantastic way to contribute. You know, if you don't have any money, if you're a student or you're out of work, then you can help pass the word out, build online applications, pointers, copy the show.
Post it on your own site.
Yeah, burn it to CDs, pass those out. Because as I stated at the beginning of the show, only the people who listen to shows like this will survive.
And we're the only show like this.
Yeah, I believe so. Did you see the new recruit we have, John? And I think this should be the album art for this episode. Have you seen this one? I forwarded it to you from producer Patrick Bisselian. Hey, guys. In order to prepare my new baby girl against the New World Order,
right.
I decided I'd give her the best source of real news from the get-go. Here she is in this beautiful picture. 3 hours old, Flavie Bisselian. Born July 21st, 2009, in the morning. And there's a picture of a BlackBerry with headphones stuck on this poor kid's head with no agenda running on the BlackBerry. And there's a little PS. I was originally planning on using my iPod Touch to simulate an iPhone, but I was afraid we'd end up on Adam's jerk list. Cheers from Gitmo Nation East Montreal. Feel free to use. Patrick, not yet producer, but soon to be. Oh, man, if you're listening, you're a producer. And this is, wow, you've given your child's image to us. That's quite a contribution. I think that should be the album art, John.
All right, go for it. That's fine. I think it's, you know, we should probably make that a poster.
A t-shirt.
A t-shirt or a poster.
Are the t-shirts for sale yet?
I don't know. I'm going to work on the t-shirt thing with the different guys who want to do t-shirts. I'm going to do it this week.
Good.
Which means I got tomorrow to finish the job.
Yeah, really? So. You're all over it.
By the way, how long do you want this show to go today? We're at 140.
We're out of control. This is what I'm saying. We really there's so much stuff to go through that we need to do this third show a week, but we can't do it based upon what we're getting in donations right now. We can't even do these two shows based upon the donations.
Right. It's true. It's if we do 2 hours and or you know what we get in income is zero. So, but I anyway go to noagenda.squarespace.com. Or
oops, did I lose you?
Did you?
Yeah, for a second there. You're back.
Dvorak.org/NA. Well, we actually have a pretty good connection today, so I'm not too concerned.
Don't invite the boogeyman.
And we've got to wrap it up.
Yeah, and if you want to have a good laugh, check out futureworldcurrency.com. That's for a real good laugh. If you want to see the future of our money, as President Medvedev held up that coin recently, this is the website for it, futureworldcurrency.com. It's a fun one. All right. Way over time, I'd say.
Yeah, but, well, you were on a roll, so I wasn't going to stop you.
Let me see. Well, we had. Let me just see how many people. We got a good amount of people listening. And of course, we want you to listen at the office.
Yes, and we're going to come up with a splash screen that'll make it look like something legit. So I'll work on that in the next week or so, and then it'll be a screen with a little player at the bottom, but it's going to say you're listening to a management training seminar.
Coming to you from the minimum security containment cell in the Crackpot Command Center, Gitmo Nation West, the undisclosed loft location in San Francisco, California. I'm Adam Curry.
And from the foggy northern Silicon Valley, the place that doesn't exist, yet we're here. I'm John C. Dvorak.
And we will talk to you again this coming Sunday, same place, more or less the same time, right here on No Agenda.